Okay, wasn't it good to pray today? Yes? So my appeal to you is, after you'll go for the Coimbatore conference and come back, that maybe that Friday evening we would come out like this. And we will come out sharp at 7, not shuffle in till 8:30. And we'll meet in groups like this and pray. And you know, maybe write it down and see what God does through our prayer. Do you believe that God will answer us? Yes? Yes? So it's beautiful to pray. Many prayers God has answered. So let's turn to Acts chapter 10. And and we'll read from verse 1 to verse 8. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And we observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Let's pray. Father, we pray you would speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of this message is Obeying the Leading of God in Your Call. Obeying the Leading of God in Your Call. Now, Acts chapter 10 is a very important chapter in the book of Acts because it is also a dispensational chapter, because now the gospel is going to the Gentiles. And we see here, we are going to see here is Cornelius. Cornelius is like a Roman centurion, and we see that he is a God-fearer, he gives alms, and he prays to God. So he's not a believer. And in verse 3, about the ninth hour, which is 3 in the afternoon, he sees a vision. And when he sees the vision, he sees here an angel of God saying to him, send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. And directions are given for people to be sent to Peter's house. Now keep that in mind. What is it? Direction is given for people to be sent to Peter's house. And we see here in verse 7, he calls two of his household servants and a devout soldier. So three people, he sends them to Peter's house, where Peter is staying. Now in verse 9, so that is the first day. So in verse 9, the next day, which is the second day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, which is 12 in the afternoon. Verse 10, then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. Isn't this our experience all the time? Yeah. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time, What God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done 3 times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. So the first day, Cornelius sees the vision at 3 in the afternoon. He sends 3 men. The next day, at 12 in the afternoon, Peter gets into a trance and God shows him this net, a sheet, and all kinds of unclean animals, and is saying to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Right? Now we have to pay attention to that. Cornelius is seeing a vision. Peter is like in a trance or like a vision. And verse 17, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. So while he is thinking about the vision, what is it? He is thinking. What has happened? These 3 people are at his gate. And then what are they saying? Verse 18, they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, 3 men are seeking you. Arise therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." That's interesting. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. What reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Have you got the story so far? Day number 1, 3 in the afternoon, Cornelius sees the vision, sends 3 people. Day number 2, Peter, 12 in the afternoon, he sees this vision of the sheet and the unclean animals. And as it gets over, these 3 men are here, correct? And they say, "Cornelius is called for you." He makes them stay. Day number 3, they go, right? And now day number 4, they reach Cornelius' house. Sometimes when we read the Bible, we just read it and we can't figure out the distances. Now Joppa to Caesarea was about 30 miles or anywhere between 50 to 55 kilometers. And how did they go? They went by foot. Keep that in mind. Correct? Now on the 4th day, this is what happens. Verse 24. And the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." This is important. Because Cornelius has seen this vision, he assumes that Peter is God. Right? Or Peter is deity. And he what? Falls at his feet. And immediately what we see is Peter corrects him and says, "I am also a man." This is very important because it is very important when we minister that we never take God's place or we never take the glory which is to go to God to ourselves. In Acts chapter 3, when they healed that person, they said, "Why are you looking at us as if through our power we have healed him? It is through the Jesus of Nazareth that this man has been healed." Correct? In Acts 17, they wanted to sacrifice to Paul and his companion. And what do they say? "We are like men, less like you." In Revelation 1, John the apostle thought the angel was God, and the angel says, "No, don't worship me." Correct? So this is very important as we see here. Then he says, Verse 28. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked them, for what reason have you sent me? So Peter has still not understood the vision. That's important. He has not understood the vision, but he has obeyed the leading of the Holy Spirit. Correct? So he meets Cornelius and says, you know, God has told me I should not call any man unclean. Then Cornelius tells him in verse 30, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter, is lodging in the house of Simon a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. That's such an incredible statement. We are all present to hear the things commanded you by God. Now Peter starts speaking in verse 34. Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. The word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the power, with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things that he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission or forgiveness of sins. So he preaches the gospel. And then we see in verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized, who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. This is a beautiful passage to read, a beautiful passage to meditate on, because there are some very interesting things here to notice. When the angel appeared to Cornelius, why didn't the angel preach the gospel to Cornelius? Why was this elaborate arrangement? You send people there, call this person, next day he sees a vision, he comes. Why this elaborate arrangement? Have you ever thought about it? Like if God wants today, he can save people by writing in the sky, believe in me and get saved, right? But this is God's desire, this is God's will, that he would use us, sinners saved by grace, to preach the gospel. And that is an incredible privilege. What do we see here? And this is what I want us to see today in this message. What do we see here? That Cornelius sees a vision and he immediately acts on it. He obeys it. And we see Peter sees a vision. He doesn't understand it. The Holy Spirit says, go with this man. And he also obeys it. And when they come together, right, and they start talking, and then Peter preaches, what happens? Cornelius and all those who are there get saved. The Holy Spirit falls upon them, right? And then Peter understands what the vision is all about. It was not about you couldn't eat pork in the Old Testament, so now we are in the New Testament, you can eat pork and all unclean animals now. This coronavirus has, they say, started because of people eating bats in China and snakes and so on and so forth. So basically, it was not that. It was about the Gentiles who were considered by the Jews as people whom you shouldn't fellowship according to the Old Testament law. Now there is a dispensational change where there is no Jew and no Gentile, but everybody is one in the Lord. And this God is using Peter to make this happen. This is a very important thing that we see here today, that Cornelius obeyed and Peter also obeyed. So there is a work which God is doing in the ones who are going to receive the gospel, and there is a work which God is doing in the one who is also going, who is sent to preach the gospel. And when this person obeys and this person obeys and it comes together, what happens? God's purpose is fulfilled. This is incredible. This is incredible. Right? You know, just as we hear from God, God leading us, maybe to be a missionary or to go to a specific place, in the same way we see God is also preparing people there to receive us, not only to receive us, to receive the message that God has given us in our hearts and as a stewardship for. It's a very important thing we see. Now, if you flip it around, what if Cornelius did not obey? Okay, I saw this vision, I'm not sending my people. And what if Peter did not obey? Okay, I saw this vision, I don't know who these three guys are, I'm sure they are not Jews, so I won't go. See, the purpose of God wouldn't have been fulfilled. So, when we read the scriptures, we must understand that there is God speaking to people, maybe in a vision or in a trance or through a dream. But there are two other things. One is the choices they make to obey. And when they make the choice to obey, the cost it is for that obedience. You know, I was reading this and I read it several times and I looked at the map. Cornelius was not the next door neighbor, where God is saying, just go down your steps, go to the next man's gate and go into his house and talk to him. No, it is what? It's between 50 to 55 kilometers away. There was effort. There was effort for Cornelius's people to come. Right? And there was effort for Peter to go with them, with the brethren, go there. Right? There was effort. But the effort paid off because he got saved. And Acts 10 is a dispensational chapter, and now the gospel goes to the Gentiles. Correct? Now, how does this passage apply to us? Figuratively, who are we? We are Cornelius. We are the Gentiles. We are the dogs. We are the outcasts. But God, in his mind, in the mystery of the gospel in Ephesians 3, he had the mystery of the church, the dispensation of the age of grace. He had that mystery which nobody could understand. And now God is unveiling it to Peter through this dream. What I have cleansed, you must not call unclean. Right? And we have been now included in the gospel plan of God. Is that clear? Now, what can we learn from this today? What can we learn from this? It's very simple. There are two kinds of obedience in the Bible. One kind of obedience is obeying the word of God in general. We hear the word, we come to church, we obey it in our personal lives. But another kind of obedience is obeying the specific will of God in His leading in our lives. That's very important. And that specific will of God is different for each person. It is unique. It is individual. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and you clearly hear, and you respond in faith, and you obey, the point is you may not understand everything. And that's not the point. The point is God wants me to take that step of faith and obey. And as I obey, and as I go, and maybe on the fourth day, it will become clear when God shows me the whole vision, what it really means, it will become clear. And then there is a cause for rejoicing because God has given them the same salvation as us, Peter said, as a Jewish person. There's a cause for rejoicing today. This is a beautiful passage we can think in terms of missions. Right? What is missions? How does it happen? How do people go? It's the mystical work of God. In Acts 13, five of them are ministering to God and praying. And the Holy Spirit says, separate Saul and Barnabas for the work that I have called them for. And they went. Right? Right? And obedience to what God is speaking to you is important. Right? You can look at this in terms of marriage. In Luke 1, the angel of the Lord speaks to Mary. You're going to conceive before marriage. In Matthew 1, which is chronologically afterwards, Joseph gets to know. And he's thinking about putting her away. And the angel of the Lord speaks to him and says, it is of the Lord. What if Joseph had disobeyed? But in their obedience, she listening in the vision and obeying in the dream, and he listening in the dream and obeying. What happened? The purpose of God was fulfilled. The Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ in His humanity was born. And the purpose of God was fulfilled with respect to our salvation. Right? So let's turn to Matthew 26 and we'll close. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again a second time he went away and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. This is a beautiful passage where the Lord Jesus in his humanity knows what the will of the Father is for him. And it is for him to die on the cross and to be separated from the Father, being the sin bearer for our iniquities. And he's grappling with that. And three times he prays, I don't want it, but nevertheless not as I will, but as you will. Now the question here is, what if Jesus had refused to go to the cross? Then in 1 Corinthians 15, we would still be in our sins and we would die in our sins. But he accepted. And the purpose of the Father was fulfilled. And salvation was achieved for us And when the gospel came to us, and when you and I believed in Jesus, through one act of faith, we were saved forever. Amen? This is so beautiful for us today in conclusion that the Christian life is not one of just being, God's saying, I will bless you in Genesis 12. That's the first part. I will bless you and make your name great. It's just not of being blessed by God. But it is to go to the next stage. And that is, you shall be a blessing. And how are we become, you shall be a blessing through the personal cross. Where God reveals his will to us. And maybe his will is not according to what we desire for our personal lives. Maybe his will is for me to go to a place which I don't like, or to go to a group of people which I don't like in my flesh. But that is his will. And when I respond to it, what happens? Things start unfolding. Things start unfolding. And the purposes of God are achieved. And this is how all our churches were planted. People heard God, they went, and churches are there now. Correct? That's how it has happened. It's a mystical thing, but it's a beautiful thing. Last verse for today, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. That's a beautiful verse. I think Pastor Benny had said this a few weeks back. Not knowing where he was going. You know, when God calls us, he doesn't give us the whole plan. We want the whole plan and we want the whole package. And third, we want the whole remuneration package. Then we tell God, I will move. When God calls, though I don't know what is going to happen, God knows everything. Amen? And we simply have to what? Trust and believe and take that step of faith. And as you go and take that step of faith, things will start unfolding. You know, Joseph saw the dream that his brothers would bow to him, his parents would bow to him as a young boy, 17 years. But at the end of his life, many years later, he understood what it meant. It was not about them bowing to him, which happened chronologically in the famine. But it was the purpose. And what is the purpose? That God had sent him before to preserve life. And not only that, he was used by God to fulfill the promise made to Abram in Genesis 15. Your descendants will be slaves for 400 years. And after that, I will bring them out with an outstretched arm. He fulfilled that purpose just through his simple obedience to God, his faith, his trust. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. You didn't send me here, but God sent me here. Today, as we are here today, you know, in closing, we may not understand everything about our lives. We may not know what the future is going to bring. But we know who God is. And we know that he has our future in his hands. That he has our best interests in his heart. So when he leads us, what do we need to do? Just obey. Right? So as you go to Coimbatore, my prayer is that God would speak to you. You would see something. You would hear something. And you would obey it. Because when you obey, there is Cornelius waiting at the other end to receive you. Not you, but to receive the words that you have, which is the gospel. Isn't that incredible? I think this is incredible. And that is why, you know, our free will is so important. Our free will. You know, being yielded to the will of God is so important. The choice is ours. God will never force. But when we yield our will to His will, then we start seeing beautiful things. In Matthew 6:10, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not may my will be done. May your will be done. That's there in Luke chapter 11, 1 to 4 also. Your will. And you know what? This is what makes the Christian life dynamic. Christian life is not boring. Oh, what did you do? Oh, I went to church. Same old word, came back. No, no. The Christian life is dynamic. So in closing today, two things. One is, there's something which God has revealed in His word, which is the general will. And I'm not obeying. And the Spirit of God is convicting me to obey. The second thing is a specific leading. God is specifically leading me. And I just need to what? Obey. Like Abraham. Go, not knowing where, but knowing this, that He has called me, and faithful is He who has called me, who will also do it. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this evening. Thank You for speaking to our hearts today. Pray for the offering now. Just bless the offering, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.